Elizabeth Elliot says, "There's a difference between a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day and a peaceful and happy one. I think it does not depend nearly so much on what happens as it depends on your attitude and your response." Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, author of more than 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and Shadow of the Almighty, helping you face your day with a godly attitude. Here's your friend, Elizabeth Elliot.
There's a family in South Carolina that some of you perhaps know or know about, the Ritu family. They had four children of their own. Two of those children died, and they have adopted, as far as I know so far, 16 children, 10 of whom are very seriously handicapped. And I have never met these people, but I've talked to Debbie on the phone because I wanted to mention her work in my newsletter, and I never have heard a more joyful voice come over the phone. And of course, my question to her was, "Why do you do this?" And she just said, "Oh, Elizabeth, there are so many children out there that nobody wants. We want them. We love them." And she said, "We pray that God will give us more children." Can you imagine? And I said, "Well, you must have a lot of help." And she said, "My husband and I do most of the work." She said, "Our two biological children are in their late teens and they help." But she said, "All the children have jobs. Every child has work to do. And it's a happy home." She sent me a picture of them. They all look very nicely dressed, very well behaved, very happy. And I'm sure they don't always look that way and they don't always behave that way. But I see that as an example of giving themselves wholly to God to do what is an impossibility, humanly speaking, and yet they're doing it. Can they act on their feelings when they get up in the morning? They couldn't possibly, and still fulfill the will of God. The choice, the curriculum, the exams. The curriculum is the everyday performance. The exams are those tests or trials through which we have to go in order to be approved. You know the verse that says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed." And the word "study" there is not referring to academic lessons. The word "study" simply means present yourself to God as a workman approved. Be willing to be tested, to be put under examination. Now, what is this test or trial or examination? Well, it's called life, isn't it? People think they've got such huge and unusual and insoluble problems, but the truth is, that's life. That's what life is. That's what life's about, isn't it? All kinds of unexpected things that we don't think we can handle. "Oh, I just can't handle it. I've just had it up to here. Oh, I'm at the end of my rope." Think of Jesus willing, he who made the stars, he whose hands created the universe and everything from the clams to the giraffes, he became a hidden, tiny seed in the womb of a human mother. Have you thought about the Redeemer in the womb? I never had thought much about it until the last few years, and the more I think about it, the more staggered I am. He had to grow in that womb. He had to pass through that birth canal. He had to be born in presumably a filthy, perhaps cold stable. But he certainly was helpless. He had to become helpless. He had to be cared for. The humiliation, the poverty, the hurt. And perhaps he was ridiculed as a child because he certainly had to be a very good child. And he was perhaps given all sorts of names by the neighborhood children. He was the child of a very poor family. Presumably he learned carpentry. We assume that that's what he did for 30 years. We think of the whole span of his life, which was brief by comparison with many. Those 30 years of silence and hiddenness, then the baptism, then the temptation, then success, followers, miracles, praises, hosannas, popularity. But then the Bible tells us he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. The indifference of the people to whom he preached, the incessant demands, people plucking his sleeve, constantly asking him for things. He was tired. He was hungry. He was thirsty. He was misunderstood. He was opposed, mocked, hated, captured, blindfolded, slapped, stripped, imprisoned, and nailed to a cross. The examination was passed with flying colors. As he hung on the cross, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." When Daniel's friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, were accused of refusing to bow down to the king's image, the king said to them, "Do you really think your God can deliver you from this fiery furnace?" They knew what the penalty was going to be. And they said, "Yes, we do believe that our God can deliver us from the fiery furnace, but if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not bow down to you or serve you." Nothing was going to shake that absolutely fixed confidence that God's got the whole world in his hands. Absolutely nothing has happened that surprises him. Nothing has happened of which he is not in control. And they went into that fiery furnace with no knowledge whatsoever that God was going to deliver them. And you remember the king's astonishment when he said to his henchmen there, "Didn't we put three people in the furnace? I see four." My old friend Samuel Rutherford, who died back in the 1700s, said, "For some, it is down crosses and up umbrellas. But I am persuaded that we must take heaven with the wind and the rain in our faces. For some, it is down crosses and up umbrellas, but I am persuaded that we must take heaven with the wind and the rain in our faces." Make the decision, choose, and stick to it. And my parents were adamant about this. If we made a commitment that we were going to be at the Halloween party, it didn't make any difference. If a far more attractive offer came up, we were going to crawl on our stomachs if we had to keep the commitment. Francis de Sales says, "He has kept us hitherto. He will take care of us tomorrow. Either he will shield us from suffering, or he will give us unfailing strength to bear it. Whatever God wants to give me, I will receive. And in the receiving, I receive God. A steadfast heart. I have made up my mind. I will follow you. I will take up my cross. I will give up my right to myself. And I'm not going to change my mind." Steadfastness, established, immovable, unchanging, unswerving, unwavering, not fickle. Is there anything in heaven or earth or hell that can separate us from the love of God? No. Romans 8 puts that very beautifully, very unarguably, doesn't it? Nothing can ever separate us from the love of God. No disaster, no untoward happening, nothing whatsoever can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus the Lord. Someone has written, "Strangely enough, those who complain the loudest of the emptiness of their lives are usually people whose lives are overcrowded, filled with trivial details, plans, desires, ambitions, unsatisfied cravings for passing pleasures, doubts, anxieties, and fears, overlaid with exhausting pleasures, an attempt always futile to forget how pointless their lives are." Is your life pointless, or does it have a steady, clear, fixed direction? In Isaiah 50, verse 7, we have a prophetic word about Jesus. "The Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. And when Jesus was going up to Jerusalem, he had set his face like a flint. And when Peter tried to dissuade him, tried to persuade him to protect himself, he swung around with those very fierce words, "Get behind me, Satan. You're not thinking as God does. You're thinking as man does." Because his face was set like a flint. It was a steadfast heart. Those strange people whose lives are so empty, who crowd themselves with trivial details, plans, desires, etc., always futile, they dread space. They dread silence. They are afraid to be alone with their hearts. It would be well for us to ponder, how cluttered are our lives? Have we really, finally, clearly defined what we want more than anything else? How are we going to get that? What does it take? And how much is it going to cost? You remember when Jesus talked to the rich young man, he said, you have to sell everything you have. And the Bible tells us only this: he turned away sorrowful because he had great possessions. What a complicated life. A steadfast heart will bring a much simpler heart. God bless you.
As Elizabeth has said, anything if offered to God can and will become your gateway to joy. Elizabeth Elliott has been sharing timeless truth with ladies for many years, drawing insight from her Bible study and her experiences as a wife, mother, and missionary. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network, Charlotte, North Carolina.